sitting in for Marty today. Larry Kruger with you on a Sunday. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday. It's my favorite sports time of year. You got everything cooking. You got baseball right, about ready to start. Playoffs around the corner in the NBA and the NHL, the NCAA tournament. You got the NFL draft coming up. Just a great time to be a sports fan. And with us on the UMA guest line, John Barr, over three decades as a Major League Baseball executive, the last decade with the Giants as the VP and assistant GM, scouting international operations, and now a senior advisor in the, with the organization. And he's with us to talk a little ball. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. And, you know, why don't we start with there's been so much change in the organization in the front office, and Farhan's running the show, and he's the general manager, and you're a senior advisor, as is Dick Tidrow. And how has this spring been different for you? How's your role changed from last year to this year?
Well, this year, of course, it's more of an advisor role. No, but things are going good this spring. A lot of it's very similar. I've been bouncing around, seeing a lot of amateurs and helping out with Mike Holmes in any way possible. Mike is heading up the draft, and I've known Mike for a lot of years. He's a quality scout, and he'll do a great job here. And he was over at Oakland, did a nice job over there before coming here. But basically, my majority of my time is spent still seeing the amateurs, whether it be domestic or international. And then I came in here to spring training. I've been down the minor league camp here for a couple of days and just trying to see some of these players and help out any way I can here.
Well, that sounds great. And you know, you're down in the minor league camp. You know, I know there's some interesting guys down there. Anybody catch your eye? I saw pictures the other day of this kid Jelly, the 6'11 right-hander that you guys drafted. And wow, I mean, and when you have that kind of height on the mound, you talk about a downhill plane. My goodness, who's caught your eye down there this spring?
Well, I think the kids have really played well. I mean, they're still trying to figure out who's going to be where and what's going to happen. And you're just trying to get yourself in shape. But a lot of the pitchers that we drafted last year, whether it be Jelly or Rivera or whatever, they have definitely have shown up and they've thrown the ball well. Wong was another one. So there's some excitement here that we feel that we have some players in the organization, some starting pitching in the organization that are down at the lower levels, but will be moving its way up. And, you know, position player wise, we're trying to get better every way we can. I mean, Joey Bart had a really terrific spring. He's down here now trying to get himself been ready for the season and begin the season. But it's been a good spring down here.
Hey, before we get into Bart, because I definitely want to ask you about him, you guys kind of made a pretty big splash. I mean, I don't know in relation to the other teams in the league, but definitely some more money invested in the last year on some international players of note. And Marco Luciano, according to MLB Pipeline, is your guys' third best prospect. Was Luciano in that camp, and how's he progressing?
Yeah, Luciano is here in this camp, and he was swinging the bat well. And also playing at short, you can see he's progressed his footwork and his hands. The guys have been working hard with him, and he has progressed in that manner. And also the bat is just it's a special bat. He's made some hard contact. He's hit some balls. He's had some good at-bats. And for a kid his age, it's remarkable. And we're just happy that he's here in camp and to be able to add someone like him. And some of these other younger Latin players that are in these groups too or have been. Firmino is another guy who's a third baseman, left-handed hitter, has really just showing what they can do.
You know, John, we're talking to John Barr on the UMA guest line as we get you ready for the Giants and the A's on this Sunday. And I was saying in the first segment that I've been watching the Giants since the mid-70s. I think this is the deepest pitching I think I've ever seen on their 40-man roster. What do you think? I mean, you guys won three World Series titles, but I don't know that any of the 10, 12, or 14, you guys had this many big-time arms on the 40-man, and even guys that aren't on the 40-man yet. Give me your perspective on the depth in the organization right now.
Well, I think that's what Farhan wanted. He wanted to add some depth to the organization up top and has been very aggressive just trying to bring bring guys into here. And I think we've done a nice job with that this year, and we're not done. I mean, they're still looking over and being very aggressive on the whether it be the waiver wires or talking to other teams and seeing what things fit. But we're trying to gain as much depth as we possibly can, and I think that that's what he's trying to accomplish and doing a good job about it. Arm-wise, we have, you know, the bullpens and some of the arms that we have running out there. Some of the kids have stepped up, like Adon, and some of these other guys have stepped up. And it just, it makes you feel good when you know that you have some depth and some strength in some areas that you can then decide, do I want to keep them or do I want to put them together, add someone in a trade to be able to acquire something else.
You know, it's funny. I was watching the Cactus League game about maybe 10 days ago. And I think it was the Brewers, Giants Brewers, and it was the Brewers TV team, John. And I think Adon mm-hmm. came on in like the seventh, right? And he's throwing 102, and then he strikes out this Brewers hitter, John, on a pitch that had to fall 2.5 feet. I've never seen it. Now, granted, it was Cactus League, but the big league hitter who took the swing and miss, and I won't name him, just had a huge grin on his face as he's going back to the dugout. Because Adon's stuff is beyond filthy. So that was the seventh. And then in the eighth, here comes Sam Coonrod, who's coming off the Tommy John. And Coonrod, I mean, his stuff was right there with him. It wasn't 102, but it was high 90s with hard-breaking mm-hmm. stuff. Both those guys are dirty. I mean, where do you think that they're AAA bound? And how far away do you think they are?
You know, I'm not going to speculate on where we're going to actually place him or anything. I think that stuff like that's still being decided. But right. Coonrod is coming back from his surgery and has come back strong. I mean, we are very pleased with the progress that he has made. And he's showing us the arm that we had seen when we drafted him originally. We thought that he probably would migrate to Penn, but we wanted to give him innings and get some experience on the mound. And then he started. And then now he's been really geared towards that role where he can be aggressive and come right at people. But I think the reason why that hitter was probably laughing, he was probably saying, this isn't fair to be doing
exactly.
this to me in March, let alone, you know, maybe July you can try that, but not March.
Adon has to be seen to be believed. We're talking to John Barr on the UMA guest line. You mentioned Joey Bart. What exactly, I mean, you know, his numbers look great, obviously, and Boach is saying the kid looks like a defensive big league catcher today. And we know he's known for his bat. The power showed. He had a big booming hit against the Dodgers and a Camelback earlier this spring to win a game. What does Joey Bart have left to do, John, to make that, you know, to make that final step to the big leagues? What does he have to work on?
Well, I think there's a lot that goes into the catching. There's a lot of experience. He's had experience, whether, you know, when he was at Georgia Tech and he calling his own games, and then also last year and being able to work towards that. And I would say that, you know, he needs experience. He needs to just keep getting at bats under his belt to try to so learning the pitching staff, learning what he can do with these guys and how to handle them in certain situations. And the game gets quicker. And I think that that's what he has to do. He's had a good spring. That's great. But he still has work to do. And we still have we still have very high hopes on him on going forward.
Yeah, he looks like a special player. Now the bench pieces are, as you said, it's very fluid right now. The season opens Thursday. There's been an awful lot of maneuvers. What do you think? I mean, a lot of incremental additions, and obviously you guys are trying to improve the depth, get the right bench combination, get the right, you know, 25-man combination. I'm looking, is Michael Reed the backup center fielder? What can you tell us about Reed? He comes from Minnesota and another kind of below the radar type move, but a guy who sounds like he's got some speed and got some defense to play a little center field, and he's right-handed.
Yeah, again, it's to add some depth in the outfield for us, and because of the, you know, the looking at it, and again, Farhan is addressing that, and we're all addressing because we see it out there. But making those decisions on who's going to be on that 25-man roster and some of the moves that we're going to be making—that's above my pay grade, Larry. I'm not going to speculate on which way we're doing, because again, I think it is fluid. I think that we're having a lot of discussions. We're talking with other teams right now. We're looking at the waiver wires, and It's we're just trying to make our team better any way we can, and I think it's and I think we're doing a good job of doing that.
Well, you know, one guy who's definitely had a phenomenal spring, if you look at the numbers, is the Rule 5 lefty that you guys took away from Toronto, Travis Bergen. Have you seen Bergen at all this spring? And what is he, for Giants fans who haven't seen him, John, what does he feature? What does he look like?
Well, I have not seen him this year. I know he's had a very good camp. He's thrown the ball well. I have not seen him being down here. So, again, I'm not sure how what he's throwing right now up there, but I know he's been doing he's been doing well, and will be part of this mix. The possibility to be part of this mix.
Hey, a couple last questions before we let you go. Two arms that I think are really intriguing that could be coming up to the big leagues at some point are Sean Anderson, who came from Boston, I believe, in the trade for Nunez. And Anderson looked really powerful in the futures game last year. I mean, big hulking 6'4" kid who throws hard and big breaking ball. And then Tyler Beedy. I mean, I did catch Tyler Beedy once on the tube this spring. And Tyler Beedy's throwing harder than I remember. He's got a big breaking curveball. He looks a little leaner. What can you tell us about those two guys? It doesn't sound like those guys are very far away.
Well, both of them had very good, they're both from ECC. One, Beedy's from Vanderbilt, and Anderson is from University of Florida. But both of them have progressed, and I think Beedy has taken a big step forward in the sense of with his confidence and of what he can do on the mound. It was never a stuff situation. He always had good stuff. I think it's now he feels like he's more belongs there, and he's able to go out there on the mound and show what he does have from a standpoint. And it is nasty. It can be nasty at times, the breaking ball and the fastball. And he has a chance to be a starter for us down the road here. And then Anderson also has had a good camp, and he made some nice progress after we got him from Boston, and he's opened some eyes. And, again, it gives us some more depth in our organization, which is so critical as you go throughout the season, because you know you're going to be faced with injuries. And that has crippled us in the past. And now, as we build it on up, we can feel better about it. So.
Hey, John, great stuff. Thanks for stopping by. You know, we always love picking your brain. And, I don't know if Giants fans know this, but when the Giants won it all in 2014, they had 13 position players on the roster on that World Series team. 7 of the 13 players were guys that you drafted. I mean, the Brandon Belts, the Joe Panics, the Buster Posies, the Brandon Crawfords. And you know, when I contacted you originally about having you on, it was way back during when Mike Mussina was picked to the Hall of Fame, and you drafted Mike Mussina when you were back, and Ben McDonald, by the way, when you were back with the Orioles.
With Baltimore.
Why don't we finish with that, John? I mean, it's got to be an incredibly proud moment for you to see Mussina finally break through and know that he's going to be headed to Cooperstown this summer.
You know, it really was, but it was even much more. It was so enjoyable because of the fact I was on the phone with Ed Sprague, and Ed Sprague Sr. is the scout for Baltimore who signed Mike Mussina, who signed Moose. And we were sitting there talking and just reminiscing about how what we went through to try to get him. We were picking 20th that year in 1990. We were wondering, is he going to get to us? Is he not? And just to watch his career, to be able to see him, talk to him, and throughout his career, it's been fun. And anybody that you end up that you draft, and you know that there's times you got to make decisions on, but you always root for him, and there's always a place there. And I know for Ed and I to have our first Hall of Famer is something special, because that's what you work for. You're trying to draft players that can be a difference maker and help your team win a World Series championship, and be able to have done that, but also to add a Hall of Famer on top of it is fulfilling. It really is. And my family was there to. We were all cheering. We're all cheering by the TV set, and I'm talking to Ed, and it was fun. It was fun.
You know, it's funny. I heard so many of these baseball know-it-alls in the last couple, last 10 years, saying, "Well, you know, Mike Mussina, he didn't win 300 games." Do you realize that Mike Mussina, in his final year in the big leagues, went 20-9. his final year. Yeah. How many guys win 20 and then say, you know what, that's enough for me? So, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say if Mussina wanted to keep going, he easily could have had 300 wins.
There was only one other guy who retired after winning 20 games, and that was Sandy Koufax.
There you go. There you go. That's a great one.
But, yeah, the Moose was – he was a competitor, and he changed it throughout the years. I mean, it wasn't always the same stuff. He made adjustments throughout his whole career, which was really what made him unique. And he was one of the most fierce competitors I've ever been around.
And he did it inside of maybe the most competitive division in baseball a lot of those years, the AL East. He was an 18-game winner at age 23. He was a 20-game winner at 39. I mean, what an incredible career. Hey, John, congratulations on that pick and many others and 30-plus years in the big leagues. And thanks for a few minutes this morning on KMBR. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great Sunday, guys.
Sounds good. John Barr checking in from the field. And, of course, Giants and A's go today.